Dear friends, today is the Feast of Christ the King. There's also a commemoration, the Mass, for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. Now, the epistle for Christ the King is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy, because in him it hath well pleased the Father, that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 18. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others said it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and chief priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore saith to him, "Art thou then a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this I came into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Cyprian was a bishop of the church in Carthage in North Africa in the middle of the 3rd century, so while there were still grave persecutions going on in the church. And he was eminently qualified for this post because he had been born into a pagan family, but was himself a convert. So he knew from personal experience both the truths of the Catholic faith, but also the errors of paganism. He wrote a letter to his friend one day, and in the letter he said, "If I ascend to some mountain and look out over the lands, you know very well what I will see. I will see brigands on the highways, pirates out at sea, armies fighting each other, and cities burning. In the amphitheaters and the stadiums, I will see crowds of men applauding cruelty and even murder. Under all the roofs, I would see misery and despair. It is a bad world, an incredibly bad world." But then he changed his outlook and his tune in the letter, and he said, "But I have discovered in the midst of all this a quiet and holy people, a people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than the pleasures of this life. Although they are despised and persecuted, they care not, for they are the masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are Christians, and I am one of them." My dear friends, we truly are Christians. We are followers of Jesus Christ, our King and our ruler. On this Feast of Christ the King, then, let us stop and see what did Christ say about that kingdom which we are all heirs. Our Lord told Pilate that he came into this world to give testimony to the truth. There is one supreme truth that governs the whole world, one truth that our Lord came to make known and to make perfectly clear, not only for the men of his time, but for men of all time to understand. And that truth is this: God is the creator and the ruler of this world. we were created to know, love, and serve Him. And we will only have happiness in this life and in the next if we follow that plan that was set for us by Almighty God when He created us and brought us into this world. That is why standing in front of Pilate, bleeding, scourged, humiliated, on His way to crucifixion, our Lord could show in His own personal physical appearance that He was doing the will of His Father. He was satisfying for the sins of mankind. He was doing all that was necessary to show His love for us and to open the gates of heaven, which had been closed by the sin of our first parents. Even though He looked so despised and so humiliated, He could bear witness to the truth that man had sinned and He was making restitution for this sin. His external appearance did not in any way betoken what the world is accustomed to seeing from a king. Nevertheless, in all truth, He could tell Pilate that day that He was a king, and not only any king, but the King of Truth. He is a ruler then of a kingdom not like the passing and changing kingdoms of this world, but the eternal kingdom of heaven based on truth. So then we have a very clear idea of what it's like to say that we are subjects of Christ the King. We are Christians, followers of our Lord. That is, those who love the truth and strive to practice it in their life, even if this means crosses, trials, and adversity at times. Now let's contrast that to what our Lord said about the kingdom of His enemies. In the Gospel of St. John, our Lord clearly stated that for those who would not accept the truth that He taught, there was another kingdom that they would align themselves to. You are the father of the devil. He stood not in truth because the truth is not in him. Our Lord called the devil the father of lies, and we see this borne out in all the history we know of that creature. From the very first instance that we hear of Satan, what's the first thing we know? His diabolical hatred for the truth. His history begins with a lie that he told himself and one-third of the angels, that they were superior to God, that they did not need to serve God as they were created to do. And this lie saw he and one-third of the angels sent to hell for all eternity by the power of God through the workings of Saint Michael the Archangel. The next time we hear of him, a lie is once again on his forked tongue. This time he's whispering the lie into Eve's ear, that if she would just do as he said, if she would just eat of that forbidden fruit, she would be like God. She would know all that God knew if she would just disobey and eat the forbidden fruit. What a lie that was, for as soon as she did, and she had Adam eat the fruit as well, she became not like to God, but she became a subject of pain and death. His mischief-making, his hatred for the truth, was not done there. When their first children came into the world, he tempted Cain with the idea that if he'd just kill his brother, he would no longer have to work so hard to find pleasing sacrifices. If he would just get rid of Abel, his life would be so much easier. But once again, this lie led to pain, suffering, and death. And far from finding his life easier, Cain was now in exile, going through the whole world without a place to rest his head or finding a place for rest, because he was running as the first one to murder his brother in the history of mankind. Down through the ages, then, Satan has lied over and over again to mankind. He even tried to lie to our Lord himself, telling our Lord to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple, to fall down and worship him, to change stone into bread. All of these Satan said he would give our Lord great kingdoms and great promises if he would just do these things. But our Lord, of course, showed the lie in all of these things and did not listen to a word of this wily serpent, because our Lord loved the truth. Let us then, my dear friends, have a great love for the truth in our own lives, in our speech, in our dealings with others, in our instruction. Let truth hold the primacy in all that we say. Sometimes, I understand, it might seem convenient to shade the truth or to tell what's known as a white lie, just to make things simpler or make things easy. But lies and deceit are not a part of the kingdom of Christ. In our dealings with others, it's not always necessary for us to tell everything we know. Sometimes for the sake of our reputation or the reputation of others, or to avoid leading others to scandal, there might be things that we need to hold back and not say. But what's important is when we do open our mouths to speak, when we do put across an idea to others, that we make sure that what we say and the idea that we convey is all based in the truth. It's so very important to love the truth, because it's our eternal salvation that hangs in the balance. Now, that's not to say that every small lie or embellishment is a mortal sin. But when we stop and consider that the kingdom of Christ is founded on truth and the kingdom of hell is founded upon lies, we have to make sure we're always going in the right direction, that our love for the truth and our speaking of the truth is always bringing us closer to Christ the King and not closer to Lucifer and his kingdom built on lies. The idea that the truth will bring peace into our lives no matter what we have to suffer, the idea that following our Lord, no matter what crosses or trials come upon us, to live by that supreme truth that God is the creator and ruler of this world, and we have to follow his will. This comes home to us priests very often when we get the opportunity to visit the sick and the suffering. For myself, there's no greater chance in the world to see this truth in action, the truth that God is the supreme being, and that as long as a person truthfully and knowingly resigns themselves to God, they can have peace in this life and look to a glorious eternity in the next. As I say, this comes home when you visit the sick and the suffering, because for many of our good people who are in this condition, they know this truth very well, and they live it in their lives. Sometimes we might be called to the home of a man who is sitting in a wheelchair in chronic pain. He winces at every slightest motion because of the nerve pain that he's undergoing. Yet, when it comes to his favorite picture, the replica of the Shroud of Turin that he has hanging on his wall, it's as if he forgets all of his pains, his medical bills, the lack of income. All of his trials go away as he explains to the priest that he gets through each day by looking at those wounds on the Shroud of Turin, wounds that our Lord suffered for love of him. And he can then, in turn, offer up his sufferings and his trials for our Lord. Or we go into the other house of a man who is ridden in bed for over a decade. There he has suffered every imaginable pain and inconvenience you can think of. Yet tears don't come to his eyes over his own condition, over his own sufferings, or the trials that are endured by he and his loving wife. Tears only come to his eyes when he starts to talk to Father about the crucifix. When he starts to explain what it means to look on that crucifix and see all that Christ has suffered for love of him, and how little his sufferings seem in comparison to those of our Lord, that is when it comes home to us as the priests, the great truth of our Catholic faith. that yes, there might be sufferings and trials in this world. Yes, there might be inconveniences or things we wish were another way. But when we stop and realize that this is all orchestrated by a God who loves us with an infinite love, a God who wants us to gain the graces and the merits we need here in this life so that we can enjoy an eternal happiness in heaven, that truth makes no matter what happens in this world all become worth it. And so in our lives then, as subjects of Christ the King, and not merely subjects, but his children through the graces of the waters of baptism, let us love the truth as our King does. Let us do all that is commanded by he and his immaculate spouse, the Church, in living our lives, following the Ten Commandments, and avoiding sin and its occasions. Saint Cyprian knew from personal experience both sides of the issue, so to speak. He knew what it was like to be a pagan and all that that could offer mankind. But he also knew what it was like to be a Christian, to follow Christ the King. And it was in this walk of life that he rejoiced so much. Let us then, my dear friends, love the truth, speak the truth, and hear the truth coming from Christ, so that one day we may, each one of us, enjoy the true happiness that is given to all those in heaven who have been good subjects of Christ the King and followed him while they were here on earth. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.